And thanks to Marquise Neal, who makes it sound more seamless than it is every day. You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. So the question, cheaper drugs or new innovative treatments? That's what pharma companies, including some here, say is the choice that will have to be made if the federal government doesn't change its rules about drug price negotiations. So is that true? Or is Big Pharma trying to boost its bottom line? For more, we are joined by Boston Globe reporter Rob Wiseman for our latest Tech Talk. Rob, welcome. Oh, great to have you. So let's just start from the top. Why are biotech companies unhappy with the current rules about drug pricing?
Well, up until now, they could pretty much set whatever price they wanted in the U.S. Under the Inflation Reduction Act passed last year, Medicare, the largest insurer, gets to negotiate prices of the most costly drugs. So they haven't been happy with that. But there's a particular aspect that they're most unhappy about, which is that pills are subject to negotiations after 9 years, as opposed to biologics, which are the cell-based drugs, which are subject to negotiations after 13 years. They want a fix. They want to close that gap.
Why?
They say that this will enable them to earn fair returns. They spend 10 years, massive amounts of money to develop these drugs. And in order to get the returns that will allow them to invest in new drugs, they think they need more time being able to charge the higher prices, which, of course, the consumers and the senior groups have been lobbying against.
So I want to bring this home for just a second. Back in August, the Biden administration listed 10 drugs that would be part of sort of the first round of these price negotiations with Medicare, with the newly reduced prices taking effect in 2026. And there were a few companies responsible for the drugs on that list that have Boston ties. So Bristol Myers Squibb, Merck, Novartis. You know, I get it. If you used to be able to set your own price and now you can't, one would not like that. How credible is this argument, though, that, listen, we won't make pills anymore if we don't get to make the money we want and set the prices we want after 8 or 9 years, Rob?
Well, pills are easier to make, easier to manufacture, and most of the drugs on the market are pills. But some companies, such as Novartis, have already said that they are going to abandon some of the early stage programs for new pills. Some of these are cancer drugs and other drugs that treat other diseases. And they say that the incentives are now in favor of biologics. Here in Massachusetts, a lot of the companies are biotechs. And they used to produce just biologics. Now they do a combination of both kinds of drugs. And they're afraid that these price talks, which now affect mostly the big pharma companies, will soon be extended to their drugs. So the venture companies that invest in these companies are lobbying to close that gap.
So a couple of things here, and this is Tech Talk here on Radio Boston. We have Rob Wiseman from the Boston Globe. I was intrigued in reading your reporting on this, Rob. Basically, and I know I'm oversimplifying, but basically what we're talking about, pills are more likely to be for the kinds of things more people are likely to have. Biologics are more likely to be for rarer diseases that affect fewer people. Is that roughly fair?
Yes, I think that's right.
Okay. And so what you're saying basically is this might incentivize lots more work and research on the rare stuff, but the stuff that more people are likely to need, the companies are arguing, will do less of that.
Right. That's the argument from the industry and the investors.
And the response from that, you know, like an AARP that says, listen, for decades we've had seniors who are struggling with affordability of drugs. We've got an aging population. Cities like Boston are among the most expensive in the country to live in as it is. You know, there's pressure points on price. What's the response to that, Rob Wiseman?
Well, the Americans pay more for prescription drugs than the citizens of most other countries. The European countries have price setting. And in the U.S., the private insurance companies until now have been able to negotiate the prices that the drug makers set. But Medicare hasn't. So this does have the potential to change the business model, which has always depended on big upfront investments in these life-saving drugs and big profits, so that they can invest in the next generation of drugs. Now they're worried that this whole model of venture-backed biotechs that make these innovative treatments could be upended.
So last question on this, Rob, and then we'll pivot just a little bit. So you're talking about drug companies, and you've listed a couple locals. I have, we're also looking at companies like a Nimbus or a Biogen, right? And also so you're talking about the producers and the investors. These are both key industries here in Massachusetts, correct? Both on the venture side, the people who give the money, right, invest the money, and the makers. Is that right?
Right.
All right, so that then takes us, and that's going to be out there. We're going to continue to watch that. We'll continue to follow your reporting on it, Rob Wiseman. That brings me to the other thing you've been reporting on a little bit, which is intriguing, which is a move then at the same time to meet the staffing needs of biotech companies. And you've been reporting on that, a whole new set of initiatives, one including breaking ground in Dorchester that would bring biotech jobs to the city and to people that maybe don't have traditional science educations.
That's right.
So tell us more about that.
So, as you say, T.C. Adam, most people correctly see biotech as a field populated by brainy PhDs. And now for the first time, initiatives like this one in Dorchester, which is called Bioversity, are taking root in the Boston neighborhoods. And there's a serious effort to expand the scope of the work that's being done here and tap into the blue-collar workforce. So, for instance, lots of the work is done in labs in Kendall Square and the Seaport, but now there's also more biomanufacturing cropping up in Massachusetts, which are these plants where they make drugs, including these biologics, which are cell-based therapies, in big bioreactors, big stainless steel tanks, and you need more people and a different kind of worker. And in this training program, they're asking people just with a high school education to take an 8-week course and learn about the industry so that they can become lab technicians, so they can do things like order compounds, raw materials, maintain inventory, service the lab equipment. And this has the potential to expand the traditional biotech workforce in the state.
Mayor Wu, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, announced an initiative back in June to get 1,000 city residents trained in this space in the next 2 years. We talked about it with her shortly after. Here's what she said.
There is no city that has more opportunity in terms of a range of industries that are so positioned for the economy of the future and that are growing. And so if we can really make that link more than just students shadowing for a summer at a hospital here or there or participating in a lab internship, this is a win-win-win for employers, for our neighborhoods, for the city's economy as a whole.
And Rob, that was one of the things that was intriguing in your reporting. Employers seem to be all in on this.
Absolutely. And another important piece of background is that the governor, Maura Healey, is planning to extend the state's life sciences initiative, which was originally launched by former Governor Deval Patrick. Now, for more money to be put into this industry, growing it in the state, I think some of the lawmakers on Beacon Hill are going to want it to expand it geographically outside of Boston, Cambridge, and also expand it into more biomanufacturing, which will diversify the workforce.
And
in the field. And
last question, Rob, you were reporting that these are also higher wage jobs than the standard entry level job. What kind of an opening wage are we talking about here?
Well, for this program, they're talking about Bioversity is talking about starting pay of $18 to $25 an hour, which is more than they can earn in service jobs. I think the key factor, though, is that once they're in the door, there's an opportunity to expand into other types of jobs within biotech, which are even higher paid.
Fascinating. Rob Wiseman is a Boston Globe reporter joining us today here on Radio Boston for Tech Talk. Rob, great to have you. I'm sure we'll have you again. Thanks.
Thanks, Tiziana.